Welcome in, everybody. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show on a wide open Wednesday. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. My mouse went dead. It's a wireless, and
don't you just love how they don't put a plug on like the front of the mouse so that you can charge and use it at the same time?
It doesn't really give me a heads up on this computer either, so it just kind of died. I was recording something the other day, and it was 4%. I should have known, but I'd given my wife the charger cord, and so I had to go relocate it. without the mouse, that's kind of how I've get in and out of breaks and mute my mic and all that good stuff. So
yeah, I can't do the trackpad.
No, that's not me. So, McKellar Enterprises chat box wide open Wednesday. JC went to drop his kids off at the pool. No, not really. That's happened before though. Mike has got a lot to say. We'll get back to this. Meredith says happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to you, Meredith. Quantrell has three friends that went to Indiana, and they're cool dudes. They booked this Big Ten stereotypes. I know a lot of people that went to Big Ten schools simply because of where I live. They're all nice people.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the students and the fans and those people. Obviously folks from Ohio that invade Myrtle Beach every summer. I live with that my whole life. And, let's say I'm with you guys on that. My parents didn't really like them either.
98% of them go home.
Yeah. But as far as people go, it's the leadership that I think is very sinister. And nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody's afraid of them because they hide behind academics and virtue and all that. They care little about academics. I mean, little when it comes to sports. It's just a big money grab. So,
they're responsible for the shift in, a conference being there to take care of its member constituency and member institutions to our conference has to be bigger and better than yours. I mean, they started it.
Well, then they claim the SEC started it because they added Texas and Oklahoma, two schools that, and the thing is the Big Ten Conference would love to have had University of Texas.
Right.
I mean, Texas was a big prize and SEC got it.
Go ahead. I was going to say the Big 12 wasn't doing a good job of keeping, Texas in line anyway.
Well, that's what happens, with the whole ACC thing, giving certain schools more money.
Yeah.
That's the first sign that it's going to collapse, because that's why A&M and Missouri and Colorado and Nebraska got out of Dodge. Because they were like, no, we're not giving our money. We've got other options. We're not giving our money to Oklahoma and Texas just to keep them happy. Specifically, Texas having their own network.
Yeah.
Which did not go well. No. But Cockweed says, I won't think about realignment today. I'll think about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll think about it tomorrow.
I don't want to think about that either. Big Slamma Jamma always brings the noise on Wide Open Wednesday. He said Sankey's like Carolina in the second half against A&M in football. Could not survive the onslaught, which is sad. I mean, I was a big Sankey guy.
Yeah,
I've defended him. I defended him to people that, because nobody likes the commissioner. Commissioner always gets it. Commissioner, this is like the man, like the,
yeah, that's right.
When we're going streaking by the pool near the gymnasium, you're going to toilet paper the president's house in college or your principal's house. Nobody likes that guy.
No,
but I've defended him and I'm not defending him anymore. I think it's just sad. I mean, every time you turn around, they're basically just reinforcing a false narrative about their conference. And every school in it. And it just gets worse and worse because the competition's going, I told you so, told you so, told you so. And it's just not true. There's no truth in any of that. You know, I mean, these are the same people that, you know, believe these buys in the playoff are some great thing, a reward.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, big reward. People
that they don't think so.
Yeah. 1-7.
You know, Ethan says, frankly, Phil, we don't give a damn. Phil busted into Boss Hog earlier. TD Null says, felt bad canceling my Gamecock 247 membership, but I'm loyal to TBS and ITG. It was one of those things just had to happen. I'll talk briefly about this. I don't ever want anybody to cancel anything with anybody. When I was a mere fan 20 something years ago, working in newspapers, I was a member of everything because I like to read and interact. So I don't encourage people to do that. I do encourage people to sign up with us for a dollar.
That's right. And
I appreciate that, but I want to be clear. But honestly, if you have a spending choice you have to make, it's just keep one. You only got room for one in your life. We want it to be us. Obviously it's a big spur now is almost like a different product than it was. It's what we do now is, you know, being with Gamecock Central, it doesn't make any sense to have a lot of duplication. So in other words, we're much more focused on premium content and our message board, which message boards that we have and have it focused more on quality over quantity, and almost acting as a deeper dive style companion deal to what Gamecock Central sort of does, which is your normal stuff, you know, with their insider component as well. I know that's a lot to get into. It's almost like a different product, and there's more things that we're going to do coming off of that I think will eventually distinguish us, either good or bad. You may not like it, but it'll be different. It's not, I'm not really one that wants to just go recreate the exact same thing. You know, I like to kind of do things a little different. The Big Spur 1.0 with ESPN was different than 2.0, and 3.0 is fundamentally different as well. And it aligns more with what we do here on ITG and kind of all one product approach. Plus there's own three and that part of it. They've, you know, we'll talk about coverage from Destin. They've been all over it. I mean, Brett McMurphy's doing a freaking poll of athletic directors. I mean, I love it. It's great. And so, I'll stress that it's just a different, you know, it's already a little bit different and it's going to continue to be, you'll see a divergence almost when you just, not when you take the Gamecock Central and Big Spur stuff combined, it's kind of really similar, but broader and things. But when you just look at what thebigspur.com is now, it's intentional that was going to happen regardless of the next thing, wherever the next thing was, it's going to be a little bit different. So, and that makes sense because media is changing. But anyway, I wanted to go into all that because I appreciate you, TD. Craiger says if he paid for his annual membership, should just keep it till it runs out. Yeah, that's fine. It'll renew on you. But I don't know. I don't even know how to cancel any memberships. I use Rocket Money to do that. Ethan has a good point here, Phil. I just want to see some positivity and wins around the program again. 2024 was such a great year for all sports, and it's been ugly since for men's sports. Yeah, the calendar year of 2024 actually was not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean.
And basketball making the tournament, and then baseball made the regional, and then there was a change. That was exciting, even though, you know, I mean, I don't think any of us expected the next coach to – the idea with getting rid of Kingston was to get somebody to take it to the next level. That failed miserably. And then football, although it was kind of a toxic off season in a lot of ways because of 2023, you know, once it started to turn, things were a lot of fun again. And then once the calendar hit 2025, really New Year's Eve of 2024 is when it started to go downhill with the Citrus Bowl. Surprising loss. So Matt says JC for SEC commissioner. I would not want that job. Not that job. Harrison said, I grew up in Hilton Head. It's brutal from that standpoint. Oh, the Northern invasion. You know, Quantrus says, is it possible Big Ten leadership has mob ties? If so, I would do as they say in order to preserve my livelihood. Kidding, but also not. Just because his last name's Petiti. Yeah, but Petiti.
Petiti, yeah.
Antonio Petiti.
Petiti family.
The Petiti family. Micah wants to talk about this. Is South Carolina going to be in their league? Do you think Texas, Bama, LSU, Miami, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, and the like would include South Carolina in their league if they all joined together? That's a basic question I'm trying to get at. Well, who are they going to play?
Right, yeah, you're going to need other? More. Right, yeah.
You know, talk about not having a SoCon Saturday. You think Michigan people in that league, Michigan people are going to be happy when they go 1-9? Because they would want some years when if those teams were up. You know, you think Notre Dame fans are going to be happy going 4-6? They do something like that, nobody's going to play them. Like, okay, you guys can go have your super-duper super league.
Yeah, that's right.
And the rest of the broad college football experience, we'll just play it off and have our own national champion. And, you know, you'll make more TV money, and you'll probably get the best players. But what does that matter? It's not, you know, again, there's plenty of players. And the best players coming out of high school are not always the best players leaving. I mean, that's the nature of football. Oh, that's not even talking about other sports. Who's going to watch that NCAA tournament with those teams? Not me. Who's going to play them? I mean, that's my thing. If they want to break off and do that, great. You've killed the sport even more by being greedy. You know, and I don't think Alabama and LSU would be a part of it. Texas, yes. Miami, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, probably. But I mean, yeah, go ahead, do it. I'm fine. Let's go. But no, I mean, you know, as far as like, if you took, like, there's those, Phil, there's those things where it's like the top 48 to 64 teams in one higher power division. Yes, South Carolina would be in that, you know, and it would probably go back to regionalization in a lot of ways, which I'm for. I mean, if you wanted to do that for football in order to get back to the days of playing teams in your neighborhood and not having all this weirdness of cross country, I'm fine with that.
Well, I don't like the slow walk, right? Because I feel like where this ultimately is ending up is a very large organization of the power conferences or the power teams, right? That are going to just eventually regionalize themselves back out in some sort of NFL model. And if that's what the end game is, then somebody lay a path out there without having to, you know, slow walk this thing into oblivion, because it's going to get ugly. It's going to get rough. If that's what the designs are, ultimately, is to have two giant super conferences that play together, or, you know, that play independently and then meet at the end of the year for a college Super Bowl, then do it. Rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, because then you can have the things that we like about this back that are being stolen away from us slowly but surely. Regionalization, because it would only make sense for conferences and divisions to be set up geographically similar to balance what the costs and expenses are to have to get to these games. It eliminates what you hear these new Big Ten West Coast teams complain about, especially when it comes to non-revenue sports, and that they're having to shell out all this money to travel all over the damn country now to play in conference games that they're required to do so to even compete for championships. If that's what it's going to go to, then so be it. Let's do it. I'll sign off on that tomorrow. Okay, good. We're going to have we're going to have two 32 team leagues, and we're going to split them up into independent divisions of 8 teams apiece that will be regionally and geographically considered, and that will be able to maintain some of the tradition and some of, you know, what it is that we love about the sport that is slowly being sucked out of us down here because the Big Ten is in some sort of power struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Mike says, add Texas Tech, A&M, top programs. Not saying it will happen, but those schools act like the rest of us don't belong. Well, they just spend whatever they want on players. That's all they're doing. I mean, how far you want to go up? You know, 16 teams? Okay, nobody's going to watch that. They're going to have to play each other. Right. And none of those schools are spending the money they are to have a good football team and go 3-9. Because that's what would happen. You're right. Going, somebody's got to lose those games. And so who's going to be the loser? You know, that's stupid. That's one of those concepts, Micah, that people that don't understand sports come up with. TV people in boardrooms. Why don't we just break them all up? Everybody just look. Yeah. Okay. So if you're, you know, ask the University of Nebraska how selling out for money has helped their football team.
Right. How it has benefited them.
And they've been losing to teams they really shouldn't lose to. I mean, it's not like they're playing tough, all this tough competition.
No.
I mean, you know, you sell out for money, you know, Texas Tech. You know, Texas Tech and that bit of money they're trying to throw around, that's going to get them in that league to 4-6. Right. I mean, what's the point? Ask all those FCS teams that went to Group of Five. They're fans. And you know, yeah, they're making more money. But, you know, they're sitting there fighting for, I guess, you know, under the current situation, two of them can get in the playoff and get their butts kicked in the first round. But I mean, you know, or the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery. You know, what's more exciting when you're an App State student or a fan and you're winning a national championship, or going to Montgomery for the bowl? I don't know. You tell me. Daryl says, any thoughts on Sark saying all SEC rosters are approaching 30 million, some are approaching 50. I think 30 is a good number. I don't know about 50. I don't know why Sark and Mike Elko are talking about spending ever. Elko's like, we're going to price ourselves out. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Why are you giving a high school defensive lineman $1.6 million? You know, you want to talk about being an idiot, you know, I mean, Elko's right. I like Mike Elko. Don't get me wrong. I like Sark. I don't know why he felt the need to talk all that much just this offseason about various subjects, but anything you hear from Texas and Texas A&M about money and how it needs to slow down, that's like the Big Ten.
Yeah, right. It's the most disingenuous thing.
That's basically the Big Ten going, I don't know why you play SoCon Saturday, wink, wink.
Yeah.
At least Tennessee is, like, honest about it. At least Tennessee's like, yeah, we just need to break off from the NCAA and make these guys employees and do it that way. You know, in Tennessee, I've noticed, well, when it gets to kind of to a down to the nitty gritty, they do have resources they can activate. They've been spending for a long time. But I respect that approach. You know, funding these Texas schools, it's kind of like when it was Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, who I do have to give him credit. When Kevin Warren tried to cancel all of college football, Ohio State was like, no, we're not doing it.
No. How about no?
but they had an NIL hearing 1 year, and he stood up knowing it was well documented at the time.
Oh, yeah. This was coming off the heels of the $40 million roster.
$20 million.
Yeah.
It's gone up in two short years.
I know.
And all that. Set it up before Congress. Go, we can't do this because this pay for play is out of control. And I'm like, really? The Ohio State Athletic Director? Really? You got this guy up there?
You got this.
Mario Cristobal talking about it at Miami. I'm like, really? After you Jack Duke's quarterback and receiver for good measure? You got, I mean, why? And nobody in the media cares. It's just like, well, let's talk to Mario Cristobal about this. See what he has to say. Why is that not a credible source?
No.
On the subject? You know who is? The damn president of the University of Georgia, Jerry Moorhead.
Right.
He's the only honest person that's talked to the media the whole time at SEC media days. And not SEC meetings. And this guy, I mean, this guy told it like it was amazing. He was on Feinbaum when he did it. So I guess maybe that's the trust tree, I guess. The
trust tree. Sort of the
trust tree. On
Feinbaum.
You know, I mean, look at this. So here, so Sankey goes through and defends everything that hasn't worked and says it's working. All right. Jerry Moorhead. One
of the things too that makes me so mad about what he says, because at this point I'm just tired of hearing. I'm tired of being treated like that from everybody.
Exactly. Dude. Like, stop lying. You're worse than the BCS guy that used to get up there. We don't want a playoff. And then the next year there's a playoff.
Yeah, that's right.
Why did you lie? So Moorhead said college sports was near anarchy. The landscape is close to that point. Not much progress in the last year has been made. We're pretty close to anarchy, he said on the Paul Feinbaum show. Pretty close, and time is running out on us. You and I had the same conversation a year ago. What have we accomplished in the last year? Nothing. Absolutely no progress. I'd say we're in a worse position now than we were a year ago, and that's concerning to me. He's like, we could start the CSC with actually enforcing the agreement we all signed. The CSC is the clearinghouse for NIL. They keep waiting on a participation document to be signed by all the schools. We signed that a year ago in the SEC. Nothing came of it. We need to get the other conferences to come on board. I think it's got to start with us agreeing on a set of principles. It has to be around tampering. It has to be around real caps. It has to be around the notion that we're all going to do actually what the House settlement said we were going to do. Meanwhile, Sankey's just like, I don't hear as much about the complaints. We need the system to say no, which it has done hundreds of times. We had an arbitration outcome where the system was defended. I mean, it's just, okay, so you have school president at a pretty good-sized school, Georgia, saying it's complete anarchy, and then you have this guy saying something different. Oh, it's the system's working as intended, like the architect from
the from system the is Matrix. Working as intended for
the system
an is elite working. View.
Ergo, the system is working as intended.
Right.
Big Slam of Jamma says me and Phil are going to have a McCarthy-esque investigation. Going to infiltrate Big Ten headquarters. We just got to get y'all disguises. I can go there. I'll go to Foga to Chow and load up.
That's right. Yeah, we'll
keep my thing on green and then go in there and blow up their bathroom. How about that?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh. Quantrell says, I can tell none of these presidents or ADs read the Bible because gluttony is frowned upon. The movie 7. McJunkin says, AOC called the North to roll up on the South. So let's get it. Hey, look, that person doesn't represent but a small fraction of the population. Most people up North would love to move to the South or the Sun Belt, you know. Arizona all the way over to Florida. So Ethan says, I have a feeling the two super conferences is what they're slowly working toward. I think so. I mean,
is there
really a place for the ACC and Big 12? It's sad. But if the two super conferences get us to where we can go back to playing our neighbors and it be okay, I'm fine with that.
It could also level the, at least the network distribution playing field for all the teams, right? You could at least start with a level floor.
Yeah.
Every school ceiling is going to be different because of any number of factors, boosters, you know, large fan bases, giant footprints, you know, state schools. There are certain things that are outside of everybody's control that we'll just have to accept. But if it can get us back to what we love about all of this, like, you know, so be it. Do it. Just do it now. Quit. Doesn't have to be 16, 20, 24. Next thing you know, we're all, you know, 65 years old plus, and it looks a lot like it did when we were kids. And we're like, golly, we had to, you know, what did we do?
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I Moses wandering around into the wilderness?
No doubt. All right, so I got a lot to get to here. There's news coming in. Senators Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. I think this is the absolute. I was talking to a friend of mine today. It was like, he said, "Well, this Cruz Cantwell thing. I think I'm gonna like the bill." I'm like, "Yeah." I was like, "And Phil, you're gonna kick out of this. The reason we have a Senate, or one of the reasons." The House is a little unruly, you know, and so it's bipartisan. And this is what it says. It's called Save College Sports Act. Sweeping reform, it says. It would create an agent registry list, limiting fees for these agents to 5%. See, that may have unintended consequences because then they're going to really try to jack everything up.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah.
But a registry is good. Allow the pool of media rights. Outlaw coaches from leaving their team before the season ends. The Lane Kiffin law. Athletes would only be allowed to transfer one time. Interesting. 5-year eligibility rule for college athletes would prohibit pro players from participating in college athletics if they previously earned compensation beyond prize money for playing. The legislation would grant antitrust protections around transfers, eligibility, and the compensation cap, while also giving the College Sports Commission the ability to enforce its rules without legal challenge. So all these pro players coming over from Europe and all the Will Wade guys, like R.J. Lewis coming back to college is bound by it.
I don't get it.
You'll get A.J. Lawson's available. He has a year of eligibility. Jeez. Doesn't he?
LeBron never went to college, man.
Yeah, get LeBron.
Yeah, just bring him on in. You know, well, that's 5 for 5.
Why not? FBS can pool their rights at a minimum threshold of 75% of the 138 FBS schools, even if the Big Ten and SEC did not sign off on it. Still be over 75%. Very interesting.
Now, some things about that I appreciate from what I've read, and other things, there's a cynical side to me as I grow older that for anything that comes out of Washington, that's just like, why are you preserving the things that we didn't like a few years ago and trying to, it feels like some of that is trying to make things, take it back to where we were without protecting the advancement that we've made in regard to
evening the playing field a little
bit. Players making money, evening the playing field. Like I've always been a proponent of some sort of very structured antitrust.
Yeah.
Legislation. Because it's what it's going to take to keep it out of
the court. Keep it out of the courts all the time. Yeah.
Right. You know, because it is what it is. But you could tighten that thing up so hard. The problem with that is traditionally you're then looking at an employee model, which changes the class of everybody that's involved in this, which, as we know, is, you know,
they don't mention
thousands of athletes.
They don't mention employment in here. And if you have antitrust, you're not going to have to do that.
Yeah, but I think that is going to leave it open to interpretation of the judiciary, which is, you know.
Yeah, it's
a judge, right?
It could be. I think, well, look, there's a lot I like about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, with everything nowadays, since everybody else is going to look out for themselves.
Yeah,
you know, right. You look at it like, well, what's good for the sport? What's good for South Carolina? I think with football, until Carolina gets consistently good, because the staff right now, let's just assume they turn it around and everything's fine. It's back on track. You can't have up and down, up and down, up and down, because that hurts your high school recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of guys on the roster this year that they got that have been to multiple schools. Multiple schools. I mean, some on the defensive line, Kelby Collins, Tomiwa Durajaye.
Yeah.
Durajaye has been to 5, right? I mean, Carter Miller is on his, I think, 4th school, the offensive lineman. I mean, there's guys that Carolina would not have had that you need in certain situations. Like with Tomiwa, that guy probably, you know, when he's coming out of high school, was kind of a stiff defensive end in a lot of ways, a guy that could play at this level, but probably not make a difference. Now he's a D tackle, 291 and ultra athletic. So he's inside. Yeah. It took him that long to kind of get there. Right. That's so guys like that, they'd have to stay at the place they were at or sit out. I don't think it hurts Carolina too bad. I think in basketball, it really does. It's because basketball is full of people that have been to 3 or 4 different schools. Right. Not just Carolina either, ever.
No, right.
You know, which I would have no problem doing it. The other part of it is the money. I think, you know, this does not necessarily – I mean, I don't know. It depends on what the actual CSC will start doing with regards to the outside NIL, because right now a lot of it's getting approved anyway, you know, because it's through the multimedia rights holders or whoever. You know, I do think compensation-wise – just a little bit more than the $20.5 million. I think that's plenty to compensate college athletes with, because I still think the whole notion these guys are professionals is insane. You know, because you're not – what defines a professional? You know, I mean, you've got average basketball players becoming overnight millionaires. That's not a job. That's a lottery ticket. That's getting paid for – just simply what you do rather than excelling in what you do. And look, the market's the market, right? That's fine. I'm a capitalist, right? The market is the market. But is it fair? No.
No.
Is it something that's healthy for no. I mean, it's healthy to have the money, and I'm glad those players can make it. But this past basketball season, it almost makes me not want to watch basketball.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I don't hate on these guys for making a buck, but, you know, if you're going to make that much money, you really don't even ever need to have a bad day. You really never need to just like not go for the rebound and hit the floor. You need to go play. And the actual level of play is really sad in a lot of instances in basketball. It is in football too. I mean, I noticed that when Dante Moore threw that pass first play of the game against Indiana, and then a bunch of guys that just wanted it more made the millionaires quit. And that's a well-coached bunch of millionaires too that rarely loses. I mean, they just quit. Dante Moore, everybody talks about him. Dude threw that pass out there semifinal game like it was 7-on-7. Oh, okay. He's trying. Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah.
I know. But this is law, and I think Micah puts this in the chat box. It's applicable because Josh Pate used the example of national and state park system a while back. Sometimes you need to protect sacred land because otherwise it's getting bought up and used for business. College football needs that. Oh, possibly. Micah says, I want a system where a school like Kansas can win in football. They are winning.
Yeah, this has facilitated some teams to be able to put together rosters that are winning. It's and there has been a bit of equalization, but the problem is there's no cap, which means
that, yeah. I mean, you know, like you're talking about. Oh, I thought we had already taken
the break. No, yeah, we do need to take a break. Yeah,
all right, then we'll take a break. But yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, Elko's right. I mean, his university's part of the problem, but, you know, you keep escalating and all of a sudden you're spending what you make in a year off television revenue. 100% of that's going to players.
Where's it going to come from? Right.
And that's ridiculous. But I think if you could get to about $25 million out the door and then escalate that as revenue increases, and eventually maybe it gets to, you know, for all sports, I think that's plenty. I don't, you know, I was looking at this NIL valuation thing that Mike brought up the other day, and they got some players listed here, 400, 500 grand. I mean, they're not going to get off the bench, you know, and I'm like, where did this come from? I mean, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and but that you have all that false data out there, and the agents use it. Well, this is what we're in, and then people don't know any better. They get desperate. So it's kind of crazy. Roger said a power outage at Pinewood derailed lunch plans at Wade's. Yeah. Dude, Wade's, one time I was his partner, Wade's apparently is closed on Saturdays. We were going to go, couldn't go. Kind of mac and cheese sounds good. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the show edition. Hopefully, maybe we get some more. This stuff bothers me to talk about. You know, maybe we can talk about something else. Maybe we'll be back here in a second.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show, here on a wide open Wednesday. A lot of topics popping up with the SEC meetings happening down in Florida and a piece of legislation being drawn up in the Senate to try to address the needs of college sports and athletics. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There are a lot of potential solutions, but it's going to require some compromise. And like I mentioned on the message board in a reply today, the problem with compromise is all parties have to agree to give something. And the problem right now is one party is driving the boat and the other party is just caving every time that anything is asked of them. So there's no need to compromise when you have one, as you said earlier, capitulating.
Yeah, I don't know which one you're talking about on that one. Congress, well, federal level, the college Congress just do nothing.
Well, I was talking more about the interconference stuff, not necessarily. The legislation.
You're right about that.
But, yeah, the time for compromise there hasn't happened yet. We'll see how that goes.
I don't know. Yeah, this is a very it's some of the folks on the further end of the left that believe, like Lori Trahan, who for some reason thinks because she played college tennis or something, volleyball somewhere, that everybody needs to get paid, you know. And I'm like, well, okay, so do you want socialism or do you want capitalism here? Because you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying on one hand that, you know, these athletes are all exploited and need to be paid all this money. But then on the other hand, you're talking about the women's volleyball player making the same as the star quarterback. So where's all this money? I mean, so what are you wanting? It doesn't make any sense. And this bill, though, I would guess Democrats would have a problem with some of it. But Cantwell is a fair-minded person. I've had my issues with Ted Cruz in the past, certainly. But I know Ted Cruz actually knows college sports. And you know, like Tommy Tuberville's bill was just could have been written by a coach. Right. It was,
yeah,
or his idea. Yeah. You don't get to transfer and you don't get this money. I mean, it was just like, well, yeah, Tommy, because you used to stack players at Auburn and you were tough to beat and you're mad because you can't do that anymore.
Right.
Period. That's a lot of this is what Mike is talking about. It's like, they don't want the blue bloods want to make it easy again. And not all blue bloods, as we found out with this, have all this money. You know, a lot of the big brands don't.
Yeah.
A lot of them do. A lot of the not so big brands have money, like Texas Tech. But so Texas said these schools, Micah does say these schools don't have a lot of common sense. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Ethan says they want to change a little bit of time instead of making a massive change all at once to see how much they can milk money out of people. Yeah. Alex says if Schnall left Coastal mid-tournament, that'd be a red flag for me. Me too. It's not going to happen.
Same, yeah. But
soon it will be against the law, apparently.
Right. They're trying to make that against the law. Thanks, Lane.
Ethan says Sankey's getting his advice from ChatGPT. Hey, Cavalier, what's up, gents? How can the media come up with preseason football predictions, logically, given all the changes with rosters and NIL? Is this the new era? South Carolina can go 10-2 or 4-8 from what I see. Yeah, they're guessing. They guessed last year, though. It's largely based on last season. And then, you know, the problem with it, too, it'll get better, I think. The problem with it, too, is that there's a lot of different things. Number one, I don't think we've figured out quite how to do portal rankings yet. And so what you're getting is sort of a pseudo recruiting ranking on a college player. That's two different things, two different subjects, two different ways to project. Because there's it, with recruiting rankings, what we decided to do a long time ago was project to the NFL draft. Like, that's the way to do it, because you're guys from different states, different levels of competition, different positions. How do you rank? This guy may be a better guard than the best. The best guard may be a better guard in that year than the best quarterback. But the quarterback's always going to go ahead because of the value of the position, period. And that's the only way to do it. You know, you got to have some kind of formula. And so those are long-term projections. Well, okay, so then you get into this thing where, like that kid, Micah Hudson, the receiver that went for Texas Tech, Texas A&M, and there was a wild NIL demand, that five-star guy.
Yeah.
And then couldn't cut it at A&M, so he goes back to Texas Tech. I think he's caught maybe six passes his whole career. Five-star guy. Bust, right? Anyway, you look at it. Well, you know, he showed up on portal rankings lists as like best available four-star guy. Well, it's because when you make a long-term projection, can you sit there and honestly say that, well, he may have been sidetracked, but he can still get there. You know, what needs to happen with the portal, I think, is it's almost two sets of rankings. It's the projection, the long-term ceiling, and then a floor ranking based on impact. It probably shouldn't even be stars. It should probably be like a one impact, two impact, three impact. And then that determines how well you're recruiting in the portal. That would help the media a little bit. Oh, okay. Instead of just saying, well, there's this potential there. You know, and you kind of reheat the recruiting rankings. So that's number one. Nobody really knows how good the portal classes are or not. And I don't care what people say. It's like, well, the top portal classes, they all got to some of them got to the playoff. I'm like, yeah, but half of them are awful.
Right.
You know, that's not, you're batting. Two of them
didn't.
You don't want to bat 500 with team rankings. Okay. Mm. You know, the number two part of it is we don't have enough data to know and guess like what works because of what happened last year. Oh, okay. Ohio State 2024 won the national championship, barely got in, but won the national championship. They were the best roster in college football. Everybody knew that. And they hauled around and almost didn't get it. But then once they turned it on and won it. And that's not a surprise. Well, what they did was that $20 million roster or whatever, a lot of guys that were older, that they weren't necessarily portal guys. Yes, they got the safety from Bama, that one of the best players called. And yes, they got Judkins as a second running back. And their quarterback came from Kansas State, and he actually had a really – he was money in the playoffs. So they did add some pieces, especially quarterback. But largely it was homegrown. So – We talked to Phil Steele on it's either on this show, JC and Morgan, and he's got Penn State up there and he's got Clemson up there because they had a lot of returning homegrown players. And he came out and said, well, it's not about the portal anymore. You know, if you're portal heavy, you're not that good. And look, I love Phil Steele, but that's a great point based on what we knew then. Okay. So then this past year happens. Who won it? Indiana wins. Now, what Indiana and Ohio State have in common? They're both older teams. Indiana had returning players, but they had gotten them out of the portal in year one, and they added some pieces. Crazy thing about Indiana is none of those guys were like, you know, I saw something written on a message board a month ago. We know how Indiana won. They spent the most money. No, they
didn't. No.
Yeah. Spent less than South Carolina. Nobody wanted those guys. I don't remember Fernando Mendoza being this big battle. You know, people talk about it after the fact. Oh, well, Miami would have. I don't think so. And so we don't really know what the formula is for the transfer portal right now. We know what Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss did. What Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss works for a program like Ole Miss. You know, they were portal heavy. They had a budget. They had a valuation of every player. If the player wanted more than what they were willing to spend, they just went on to the next guy. And it worked. He held it together, elevated Ole Miss's program. But we just don't know. We don't know how that's going to affect. We don't know how to judge the portal classes. Then we don't know what the right formula is and the mix between high school recruiting. It's going to take years to do that. So Big Slam Pajama said the law say anything about betting on your own team, ask it for a friend. That's insane. I almost got sick to my stomach. And look, I maybe call me callous, call me whatever. And I was one that wanted Pete Rose reinstated. And I do believe you can learn lessons, but I think those lessons have to be learned in a lifetime sometimes. I do not buy for a second that, this whole, like, we're going to support Brendan Sorsby, you know, that just screamed, we're going to protect our investment. And look, if the kid had a gambling problem and he went and got help for it, fine, but you still got to pay the consequences for what you did. And it probably wasn't a big deal, but this is an example of blaming society. Although now that we have online gambling, that's bad. Okay. Well, it's legal.
Yeah. Well, all right. Yeah.
Somebody along the way didn't do a good enough job. And, you know, this guy's, you know, he's mature enough to pay $6 million to, because you need a quarterback.
Right.
Mature enough to accept the consequences of his actions.
But is he acting professionally? Or is he considered as such because you paid him $6 million by sole virtue of the fact that you paid him $6 million? I couldn't help. I'm probably a bad person, JC, but reading that release from Mr. Sorsby and seeing the whole thing. Yeah. Where is, like, his, you know, he's going to go to the school's, you know, addiction services organization that Texas Tech has. Good for Texas Tech for having such an organization. Yeah, that scene from the rehab scene from Half Baked popped in my mind, where Bob Saget is standing at the podium and Dave Chappelle's character is talking about why he's there in rehab. And
yeah, I mean, Bob Saget. I mean, look, I'm sorry. It's just like, again, if you're, you know, it's funny, everybody now, and it has nothing to do with being a humanitarian. It has to do with an agenda and your team most of the time. You know, it's like, well, you know, now they're kids. Right. And if I need to get him here and pay him $6.5 million for a quarterback that obviously cannot throw the ball well against good defenses, you know, just because you needed a quarterback. And now, oh, they're kids. The boys will be boys. Come on, man. No. I mean, you know, something's got to give at some point. SC Scott guy says it's amazing how the free market capitalists change their tune when it comes to a college football player. Some do. Some do. I'm all for the free market, but there's, you know, you have what it is this, you know, when you talk about monopoly laws and stuff that we have in this country to foster competition. The problem with not having a cap is, you know, these schools are all competing against each other. And you do have, you will have monopolies, many monopolies that take place. And it's a competitive sport. I mean, it's not a business. I mean, it is a business, but it's not a traditional business.
Right.
I like the parks thing. And Quantrell says, grandma's house, don't want it, $500K for it. But if you come back $1.5 million, I'm open to discussing it, you know, and all this stuff. SC Scott guy, one more thing, says Phillips said fans expected the baseball team to go to super regionals 5 out of 10 years is unreasonable. That doesn't seem unreasonable at all to me. It's been, well, let's just go through it. I mean, post Tanner, Holbrook was in the supers in 13. He was in the supers in 16. Kingston, did he get back? When did he get? Oh, Kingston was in the supers in 18.
And then
19, 20 didn't happen, 21, 22, 23. He was in 23. So one. So 1, 2, 3, 4. They were in the supers 4 out of 7 years after Tanner left. So that's more than 50%. And so, people were not happy. So
right.
I would have to, and I love Jay Phillips, and certainly right there, praying for him and his health and all that. He's one of the good guys. I would disagree on that. And college baseball is hard. Now, baseball is a hard sport. But
if you're talking Omaha every other year, that is unreasonable. But I think a super regional is not.
Yeah, Omaha is different.
Yeah.
Omaha is different. So, JDS, has any clue what's going on with men's basketball? We didn't do any high school recruiting last year. Well, that's not how you win now in college basketball.
It's crazy.
I don't know, man. I mean, everybody's spending the big bucks in the portal.
We'll see. And,
you know, outside of the top guys.
So. Talk about not sustainable. I mean, you got
to
figure
basketball bubble, needs to get
that bubble's going to pop first.
They need to get sober.
Yeah.
McJunkett asked if he bet on them to win or lose. I don't know.
Who? Sorsby bet on only positive things for his team.
That doesn't matter. Boarding,
but it doesn't matter. It's like, yeah. And I love he's like, he did it to boost his engagement in his own freaking team because they weren't that good in 2023, the year that he's being accused of betting on Indiana football. And not only were they not good, but he wasn't good enough to start on a not good team. So he had to keep himself.
Very good, period.
I know.
I think this is over a guy that, I mean, Texas Tech needs to go find Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
Sorsby and Josh Hoover, man. It's like, it was not a good quarterback year. Wasn't a good quarterback draft. It was not a good quarterback year in the portal. Right. And it's like, because those guys were kind of best available, I guess, they got a lot of hype. And I was a little
surprised by how well of Hoover Chris Clark was speaking earlier today. I'm like, oh, okay.
Was he talking about his stats and stuff, or what was he?
Just he was like, you know, like, no, his like mechanics, his arm angles. He was like, you know, doing this, that, and the other.
He can throw. He's just a turnover machine.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it, but at the same time, I mean, how much is that is facilitated by the system itself? We'll see.
Could be.
We will see.
Well, I mean, he's got a system. So 24/7 sports, Sam Levitt, number one. Brennan Sorsby, number two in the portal. This is what I'm talking about. How about no? Quarterbacks. Drew Mestemaker, five-star portal guy, five. I don't know about that. Where is the best quarterback? Justice Haynes is 14th. No. Nick Marsh, 15th. Doubt it. Coy Parrish, safety from Minnesota. There's our guy, Chaz Coleman. He's on this. Oh, gosh. Anyway, Dylan Raiola, 19th.
Oh, whoa.
and the best quarterback in the portal, Darian Menz, is 23rd, ahead of Josh Hoover, who's 24th. But see what I mean? It's just got to work itself
out. Yeah, I don't know. It's we'll see.
Meredith says, are you nervous about special teams yet? First rule of special teams is we don't talk about special teams until 10 days before.
Oh, they started talking about it on the morning show. I was like, no, no, no. I was able to put that down in my own mind, and now it's back. Thanks for planting that seed again.
Absolutely. Folks. Well, it's been a good day. I wish we could talk about the baseball search more. That's what everyone wants to talk about. Like the candidates.
JB didn't even really want to address it on the morning show, which I thought was interesting. He's like, well, we don't know much going on right now anyway.
There's not a lot. Here's the thing about it. It's like, so there's Schnall, and then there's the other candidates we've mentioned, like Ramsey and Fitzgerald. And then there's going to be other names that could or could not pop up. I'll just tell you that right now. There's guys, and I don't have a name. I'm trying. But I've heard they're going to kick some tires on some folks, which is fine. All they can say is, ha ha.
No, thank you.
You know, and that's kind of where we're at. And I think obviously, if Schnall's the guy and they get eliminated this weekend, things can move pretty quickly. I don't think you have to sit there and like not hire a guy because he advances in the tournament and panic because of the portal, like I said earlier. But I do think that if you can move quickly, you would behoove yourself to do so. So we'll see. Should be interesting. Kind of like a calm before the storm, I think, with all that. But we'll see. All right. So for Phil Mullinax, JC Sherbert, hope you all enjoyed the show today. We'll be back tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday. Matt Anderson coming in Friday. Talk to you soon.